shares, which is always very good news. We've had to make a few changes today, and we're very sorry that Ros is ill, but very, very glad that Reverend Sheila Bishop is leading our service today, so we know we're going to have a brilliant service. And we've also got a number of people in key roles who are poorly, so I'm afraid we're having our hymns on a sheet today, and you've got to be really clever because some of them are upside down. So we like to test our visitors as well. Just a reminder that our offering today and from the Christmas services will be donated to the Silk Life Feed Bank. Lovely to see you, really lovely. Over to you.
I'd like to add my best wishes for the new year and a welcome here this morning. It's always good, isn't it, to gather together and give one another that sense of strength and that sense of God's purpose, especially as we stand at the beginning of a new year. As the celebration of Christmas shared with family and friends draws to a close, we come to this holy place to worship together and to share our joy, because the true meaning of Christmas is not just for a day or even for a season, but for the coming year and beyond and into eternity. Emmanuel, God with us, a present reality, and one day the Christ will return in power and in glory. So let us sing and bring our praise, our prayer, and keep that sense of awe and wonder that God has come amongst us, which we experienced in the Christmas story. During the service, a representative from each of the circuit churches is going to talk to us a little about what God has done with them in the past year and also their hopes for the future. But our service of worship begins as we sing the carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Now proclaim them.
We are grateful to all those who will take part in this act of worship. And now we bring our prayers under the guidance of Julie Holworth.
Sorry. Let us pray. Lord, you are almighty, all-powerful, and all-loving. We praise you, our Creator God. You have given us eyes to see the signs of your handiwork. All around, we recognize your fingerprints. In the grandeur of hills and mountains, and in the mighty oceans and rivers, in the intricate beauty of a flower, in the healing, caring touch of a friend, in the innocent smile of a baby, in the courage of those who struggle against the odds, in the fellowship of our church family, and your people everywhere. We praise you for the birth of Jesus Christ, your Son, the human sign of your presence and the proof that you are among us as Saviour. We praise you not only that he came, but also for the way he came, born as one of us, sharing our life and our limitations of time and space, facing all the pressures and temptations that came from living in a fallen world. We praise you for the Holy Spirit at work in his birth, life, and ministry. We praise you for the promise of the Spirit for all your people. Here and now, we celebrate the victory of your love that will never be defeated, but will conquer all that spoils your world and our lives. We'll praise you and thank you here, everywhere, now and forever. Amen. Prayer of Confession. God, our Father, your name is all goodness. Your nature is all loving kindness, and your purpose is peace. We come and confess that we are not the people you intended us to be. Neither are we the people we would like others to think we are. There are things we have said, done, or thought that we would rather no one else knew about it. We are ashamed. Lord, we look at your world, which is spoiled by greed, tainted and selfishness, and stained by injustice. But the world has been made the way by our greed, our selfishness, and our unjust dealings. Lord, as we anticipate the coming of the new year, we have come not to ask for forgiveness alone, but for cleansing and renewal. Help us to reflect your memory and mercy and become channels of your forgiveness, love, and hope. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now for the blessing of our offerings. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of learning from you, of praising you, of knowing your constant loving care for us. Please bless and accept the offering of our money in cash, which is to be given to Salt Life Food Bank. Offering through standing order and card and in the card machine. We also ask you to bless our offering of our time and abilities. Use them and us so that others may know you, praise you, and experience your loving care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We sing the hymn 210, Love Came Down at Christmas.
The Gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. And is headed, Jesus Presented in the Temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what it said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people of Israel. The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Amen.
I apologise to our reader because I said that I would do an introduction. I'm sorry. I'm so nervous. So I'm going to do it now. During the past month, we have sung, heard, read, and studied the story of the birth of Jesus. But perhaps for the first time in my life, I realised how indebted we are to Luke. For without the Gospel of Luke, we would have had very little detail of how Jesus came into the world. Those last two chapters, part of which has been read for us this morning, we know the story so well, and this story sometimes gets lost. The child has safely arrived. Mary is pondering what the angels said about Jesus, her longed-for son. And Luke, like no other gospel writer, gives us an account of how God kept his promise, the promise that he gave 700 years before, when they proclaimed through Isaiah that the people who walked in darkness, to them a son is given. And so it was, and the story continues, and we have heard it read, as Jesus is taken to be circumcised, to be named, and then after a month, to travel to Jerusalem, to the temple, to do all that the law required, and to meet two very special elderly people, as you've heard. We've just sung, haven't we, in hymn 190, saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord descending, in his temple shall appear. This is a lovely story, and we learn so much more about the Holy Family as we read it. We know, of course, that they were devout Jews, but their lives had been turned upside down. Angels had spoken to Mary, dreams had come to Joseph, their plans had had to be changed. And most of us don't like change very much. And yet they have remained faithful and obedient during the long months of waiting, trusting the angel's word would be fulfilled. It's interesting that Luke, a Gentile, was at great pains to tell us how this devout Jewish family observed all the tradition of the Jewish law, for we read they did everything that the law required. And we learn also of their poverty, for offering a thank offering, they were allowed to give just two young pigeons, or possibly two doves, when he was presented as their firstborn to God. Then at the end of the passage, that lovely verse which tells us that Jesus went to his home with his parents, thrived, and grew in wisdom. And then the curtain comes down on those hidden years with just one more story before his ministry begins. And again, Jesus is to be found in the temple. And here in the temple, on this occasion, the parents, Mary and Joseph, encounter two elderly people and learnt more about the future that their son would have. But I believe that here and today, we as Christian followers, saints before the altar bending, can learn from this story how to wait for God and wait on God and watch for him. So often this story is swallowed up in stories of the Magi, or we're not in church because we're away after Christmas, or we're celebrating covenant, which is part of our very important Methodist tradition. So I'm so glad that Reverend Roz chose this story to tell us today. For God, in this story, is fulfilling his promise to bring salvation to the world. Life was uncertain in those days. Israel endured the Roman occupation. And now today, as war, revenge, poverty, homelessness, and prejudice stalk our planet, our future too is uncertain. And like the characters in our story, we too need to know the promises of God fulfilled. This is our faith in a God who came and who comes amongst us to lead us, to bless us, to guide us, and to inspire us. He comes into a world of suffering and embraces that world in his own life, death, and resurrection in Christ. And he shares the darkness that we experience and brings a light that will never be extinguished. Simeon and Anna have a lot to teach us about how to wait well, because Christ will come again at the end time. But waiting is never easy, is it? Probably if you've been in a household with children, they were anxious, very anxious, to open the presents under the Christmas tree. How long have we got to wait? I remember with my brother being keen to get the washing up done for the first time in the year, because it was always after lunch that we had the presents. Or perhaps a young person who is waiting to see whether they can get a job, as one of my grandsons is just now. Or a young adult waiting to meet the love of their life or to find that they can afford a house. And as we get older, waiting often anxiously for results of tests or to hear news of those we love. But we are called to wait and to watch for God. And as Christians, we wait in a special way in God's Kairos time. For we are living in the in-between time. We have the knowledge and the experience and the story of Christ born amongst us as a child. But we know also, our faith tells us, that Christ will come again. And it is in this in-between time that is sometimes difficult to wait upon God and to wait for his answers. For God is not to be hurried. It was some 700 years had passed since he announced through Isaiah that God would come and be the salvation of his world. And that night in the cattle shed in Bethlehem, the promise was fulfilled, and the waiting for his coming in the flesh comes to an end. The Saviour comes. He who was with God in the beginning is made flesh. But the story is only just beginning. And even after the cross and resurrection, God has more. For he will bring the world to its climax in the coming of Christ. And into this story comes two elderly people. Perhaps because I'm elderly, I'm very fond of this story. In fact, Anna, at 84, is the same age as I am. They had been faithful all of their lives to the hope that God will fulfill his promise. sometimes with very little proof or expectation, but they had remained obedient. We read of Simeon that he was devout and he had the Holy Spirit on him. And that Holy Spirit had assured Simeon that he would not see death until he saw God's salvation of the world. So guided by the Spirit, he goes into the temple on that day, and cited by the Spirit, he recognizes that this, a tiny baby thing, is God's answer, is God's redemption of Israel and a light to the Gentiles. The Messiah, the Saviour, has come. And he doesn't just see and recognize him, but he takes him, this old man, takes the child into his arms. He receives him, as we all need to do. For it is not enough to know about Jesus, but to have him living in our heart. And now Simeon can die in peace, for he has seen God's salvation. God has kept his promise. This child will be a light to the Jews and to the Gentiles and a salvation to we who live today. And so he prophesies as the Spirit fills him with understanding. He promises that this coming one, this Christ, this pure, sinless man, will confront wickedness and sin, and therefore there will be rejection as well as acceptance. There will be scorn. There will be misunderstanding. But this baby who made a mother cry has influence far greater than the power of military might or legal systems or governments. And the same is true today. For his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we read in Isaiah that there is no end to his government and peace. This is our faith. This is the bedrock of our belief. This is the truth that we search for as we look for purpose in our lives. And this is the springboard of all that we do in the name of Christ. The future will bring grief to his mother, but she will still be there at the cross and at Pentecost. But it will bring life to the world and to each one of us. Simeon's devotion was not in vain, and neither is our devotion as we worship the Christ who came and who comes to us in our daily experience through his Spirit. We must wait upon God and watch for signs of his kingdom and join him in working to change the world. But there was another person in the temple that day. She was always there. She was 84 years old. Her name was Anna. She had been married as a teenager and had just experienced 7 short years of being a wife when her husband died. And now she is 84, and she has committed herself and her widowhood, her grief, to making a relationship with God, waiting upon him, watching for him, and being faithful. I'm sure in the eyes of the world she was a nobody, as so many of us are. But in God's economy, there are no nobodies, only beloved sons and daughters, as each one of us is. She recognized the baby as Christ, the one whom God would send, the answer to all her prayers. And she gave thanks to God and talked about him to anyone who would listen, who came into the temple to pay their tithe, or just to sit quietly, or perhaps just to wait upon God themselves. She had waited patiently, hopefully, prayerfully, and expectantly for this moment. What joy must have been hers. we too encounter Christ, and we too receive him into ourselves. He has forgiven us, redeemed us, and reconciled us through the cross. There is a song we must sing, a message of hope to make known, a word on our lips and joy in our hearts that no longer can we hold in. We have a gospel to proclaim, a saviour to commend. Whatever age or circumstance our lives have, or pattern that our lives have taken, as we wait upon God, he will keep his promises. He will fill us too with the Holy Spirit, so that our lives and our words speak of the one who is the answer to the world's darkness. For he is light everlasting, unquenchable, and in him alone is life that is eternal. He walks with us now into another year. Let us then wait upon him, watch for him, and praising him for all that is past, trust him for all that's to come, until he returns in glory and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. Amen. After our next hymn, representatives from the circuit churches will come and speak to us. If they could come to the other microphone and just follow on one from another. But we sing, "It came upon a midnight clear," and so much of the words of this verse, the third verse, seem to reflect where we are today.
It came upon a midnight clear, that no this broken cross first, please.
We want to give thanks for the work of our Dementia Cafe, our puppetry group for toddlers, and also for the connection forged with Worley Preschool, who use one of our rooms on weekdays. We also have a coffee morning on Thursdays, which we encourage people from our local community to come and enjoy some refreshments and some company. We welcomed Ros as our minister, and we are very grateful for her. We pray that in 2024 we may continue to build on this work and look forward to working with Ros in her capacity as our minister.
Looking back over the last year, our small community at Gawsworth has lost two of our members through death. Others have become frail, and several of them are not able to worship with us. The need for pastoral care has been intense, and our pastoral visitors have been given strength and love to diligently help and support those in need, which has come through worship and fellowship. We are grateful to God for the strength given for this, and also the way people have stepped up and volunteered to fill gaps and keep our activities going, so sharing the love of God with many people through monthly lunch clubs, chapel teas, and raising money for charity through our weekly coffee mornings. We continue to give thanks for the loyalty and of the officers of the Girls Brigade and for their work with the girls week by week. So, what do we long for God to do with us? Perhaps to give us more confidence in his power and love, which will enable us to speak God's love for each person as well as sharing it in practical ways. That he will give us a clear vision of what might be possible at Gawsworth, of what we need to curtail so that he can do a new thing with us in serving him better in 2024.
Can you all hear me? Yes. Alan, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hard luck. I wasn't expecting to be here. I've had a brief sojourn in hospital, and this is my first service since, but I'm very pleased I could be here, because on Wednesday, I, for the first time, went into the Langley Chapel, and I saw the wonderful decorations that had been put up, and I thought to myself, if I was not attached anywhere and I came in here and saw this, I'd want to join this church. On the Christmas Eve, I wasn't there, the traditional Christingle service, and it was packed out with young people and their parents. Where they came from, we don't know. But they come every year, and we're very glad of that. So don't let's underestimate the impact we have on people, and keep up the good work, and God will do the rest. Amen.
And we at Macclesfield Methodist Church would like to give thanks for new members of our congregation who have joined us over the past year, including some who have come to us from the new housing development where the old King School site used to be. And we also give thanks for some new children in our Sunday school as well. And we give thanks for all our all the organisations, the uniformed organisations. And we give thanks for the coffee morning, which happens most Fridays of the year. We've just had a two-week break now, but we're back next Friday. And one thing recently we like to give thanks for is the exhibition, the display of knitted figures, many of which were knitted by a very gifted member of our congregation, Margaret Fish, who sadly died earlier this year. We would give thanks to Margaret. And also give thanks to Angela Bourne and her team for organising this. And for the new year, one event we particularly look forward to in the run-up to Easter is the continuation of the Knitted Figures exhibition, which will portray Jesus' life from his birth through to his his crucifixion, resurrection and ascension. And so we give thanks for our forthcoming 25th anniversary celebratory year. And we do pray that God will continue to give us the strength and the grace to serve the community around us. And in closing, I would just like to share a meditation from the today's reading that was especially for New Year's Eve. Thank you, Lord, for all you did this year and all you will do in the next. May we be ready to step out into every God-given and blessed opportunity that you give us. Amen.
We thank God for the fellowship at Pointed Methodist Church. We are very thankful for all the groups that meet here each week, from baby massage to the brass band, covering every age group. A huge thank you to all the willing volunteers who make all of this possible. Room bookings, care of the property, the cleaning, the finance, it goes on and on. Thank you to all of you. For 2024, as a church, we pray that God will bring peace to this troubled world. For our church, we pray that our revival project will go really well and that God will provide us with grace, wisdom, and knowledge and support David Garrett in his leadership of this project.
We were asked to share one thing that we'd like to give thanks for in 2023. I'd like to give thanks for our congregation, our church family. Between us, we serve the church in so many ways, whether it be property and finance, stewarding, reading and providing music for our Sunday services, hosting house groups and the reading group, running the pop-up cafe or the women's wellbeing evenings, the afternoon group, the faith lunches and the monthly charity coffee mornings, the children's events, and the Pews News team, which keep us abreast of all the events that we do run. This all contributes to the life and the outreach of Presbytery Methodist Church. And as a family, we look after each other pastorally. For 2024, we ask God that we can build on everything we do at the moment and to be with us as we launch our monthly Dementia Cafe from January onwards. May we be of some help to local people who are living with dementia. May I wish you all a happy new and peaceful new year.
What we have heard represents a huge amount of devotion and faithfulness, and we go into a new year trusting God to be with us. And we're going to sing a very old hymn, so if any of you like me grew up with the Methodist hymn book, you'll know this one. And it's on a small piece of paper. I do hope that we can share those pieces of paper so that everyone can see it. It's a hymn of dedication, asking God to be with us as we wait and watch with him.
So we meet together to worship God on the eve of a new year. What could be more appropriate than we begin to reflect on this year coming to end in praising and thanking God for the ways in which he has journeyed with us throughout the whole year? And it's been so helpful thinking of those of you who just a few moments ago brought messages from your own congregations for particular ways for which you would give thanks. So giving thanks for particular occasions when we have been certain of God's loving and gracious presence. Thinking of occasions when we have been reassured at his call for us to serve him in those around us. Loving God, thank you for surprising us by your presence in a stranger or in a new situation. Loving and gracious God, we thank you supremely for never leaving us alone, but for sharing every moment of this present year with us. We thank you for the peace and hope and joy and love beyond measure which are your gifts to us. We thank you too, Lord, for your presence in the different congregations through which you challenge us and call us to serve you, and for the encouragement by your people for us to say yes to your call. Almighty, loving and gracious God, we thank you so profoundly for your blessing upon us in so many ways during this current year. And now let us make our prayers of intercession. Let us make our prayers in faith, for we know that the Spirit of God is at work in the world, willing that which is good for God's creatures. To the words, Lord, in your mercy, would you please respond, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So let us pray for the world at a time when its future existence is a matter of uncertainty. Let us pray when the actions of humankind are causing concern for the natural world. Let us pray for peace between nations and within nations, for governments to look to long-term benefits and not short-term expediences, and for the proper care, education and nurturing of the children of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
Let us pray for all those in the world who are suffering at this present time, for those who have lost faith in the love of others or in the love of God, for those who are hungry or thirsty or homeless, for those who are ill or wounded or disabled, and for all the victims of war and of violence and of crime, whether in Russia or Ukraine, in Palestine and Israel, in the Holy Land. And we pray for all children everywhere whose upbringing has left them emotionally scarred. Lord, in your mercy, so let us make our prayers in faith, for we know that the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, encouraging, enabling, and healing us. Let us pray for the people with whom we share our daily lives and work, for those whose faith in the goodness of life is being tested by illness, anxiety, or sorrow, for those who feel they have little left to live for because they are bereaved or depressed, for those for whom faith in a loving God is a problem and not a joy, for those wrestling with feelings of doubt, those outraged by the suffering of the world, those unable to believe that they are forgiven, and for all whom we know who are finding life difficult at this time. So we pray, Lord, for the church. For the church, the Methodist Church, in the churches represented here today, in this area and in this circuit, we pray for revival, the revival of your Holy Spirit among us, Lord, and for all those within our church families who need your comfort and your healing at this particular time. Lord, we pray for those who are persecuted in any way because of the faith in which they hold, for all ministers and preachers, leaders and teachers, that they may convey the truth of the gospel by which we can live, the truth of the gospel for the whole of the church, that we may remain faithful to our faithful Lord. And let us pray for the grace for ourselves to live by faith alone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Our service concludes as we sing our hymn, Unto Us a Boy is Born.
Into a world forlorn, the Lord of it.
nation, the Lord of every nation. Cradled in a stall was he, with sleepy cows and mouses. But the very beast could see that he old folks apostles, that he old folks apostles. Herod then with fear was filled, a prince he said in jury, all the little boys he killed at Bethlehem in his fury. At Bethlehem in his fury. Now may Mary's son who came so long ago to love us lead us all with hearts aflame unto the joys above us, unto the joys above us.
Let us go in peace, for God is here among us, light in the midst of us, with the gift of abundant life, as we ask him to give it to us. We can put our trust in him, for he is our Saviour. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and into the new year, and until he comes again. Amen.